do we send here?
The way of the fist, sir!
And what is that way?
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir!
I can't hear you!
Strike first, strike hard, no mercy, sir!
Mr. Lawrence!
Yes, Sensei!
Warm them up.
Who knows the movie? Karate Kid. We can turn on the lights now, except for the like maybe the front row. You know, that movie, let me be honest with you. I had that movie planned. He's talking about mercy, no mercy. And all summer we've been doing a series called Happy Days. And today was the day where we were going to do Blessed Are the Merciful, for they will be shown mercy. But then I realized, because we had a couple weeks that we had a guest speaker and we just played games that one day, I realized I had planned the series for 8 weeks over the summer and we only have 2 weeks left. So I was going to have to cram in 2 weeks of talks today and then 2 weeks next week. I had an outline for you guys that was front and back of the little page. And I had a massive amount of spiritual information that I wanted to shove down your throats. And I had it all prepared, I had it all ready, and I was pumped about it. And what I do, if you guys want to know my system, is I sort of sit over the scriptures and I pray about it and I kind of jot down some notes about what I want to talk about. Then I put it in, I kind of write out what I want to say, and then I take what I've written and I try to divide it up into sections that make sense. Then I make an outline for you guys, and then after I make an outline for you guys, then I put it into PowerPoint, and then I put it from PowerPoint into the program that we use called Media Shout. And I got through all those steps this week, and I was so excited about it, and when I got to the PowerPoint, to the thing that comes up on the screen, I couldn't do it. It was weird. Like, I wasn't happy with the two-page outline, and it just, the Lord was not letting me rest with that talk, even though I was pumped about it. And I realized, as I wrestled with the Lord and I couldn't put together the PowerPoint because I wasn't sure that it was exactly what was supposed to be said this morning, I realized that God wanted me to toss it all out the window. And we just threw away all the outlines that we had printed off, and I spent some time with the Lord saying, okay, Lord, if it's not the talk about mercy, what's it going to be? And I said, I've already got this clip. I rented the movie. I pulled the clip off. We're all ready to go with mercy. What's the deal? He said, David, you got 2 weeks left before these folks go back to school. You need to spend some time getting these folks ready to go back to school. And so the next 2 weeks, it's back to school time. And we're going to get you ready for this year. And this clip is a great one, even though we're not going to specifically talk about mercy, to get us started. Because in that clip, it starts off with, his name is John Kreese, is the sensei's name, with Kreese, and he's yelling, and the guys are repeating what he's yelling. Does anybody remember at the very beginning what he was yelling? Anybody? There we go. Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? And they would say, no, sensei. And then what else did he say? Anybody else remember? Fear? Pain does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei. And what was the last one? Defeat. Very good. Defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it?
No, sensei.
Thank you. And then he said, what do we study here? Anybody remember what they study? Jordan, do you remember? What do we study here? Who said that? The way of the fist. And what is the way of the fist? Strike first, strike hard, no mercy. No mercy. And I got to tell you, like, I watched that movie and I want to be a Karate Kid, but I realized that inside of me, and I think inside of all of us, especially when I was y'all's age, there was a lot of crease inside of me saying that to myself. Growing up, I was like a drill sergeant on myself saying, fear does not exist in my life, does it? No, David, it doesn't. Pain does not exist in my life, does it, David? No, it doesn't. Defeat does not exist in my life, does it? No, it doesn't. And I'm going to live by the way, I didn't call it the way of the fist, but I'm going to live where I say, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to take charge, I'm going to do what I need to do to survive in this world. They say, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. I'm going to go, no holds bar, take care of business, run my life. And to prepare you guys for the school year this year, I want to encourage you not to live by the way of the fist. Not to put yourself in a position where you say, pain doesn't exist in my life, fear doesn't exist in my life, defeat doesn't exist in my life, and live in denial of that. Because those guys in that dojo, they're living in denial. Because the reality is, pain exists in that dojo. I didn't show the clip. When they spar, this guy gets taken down, and he falls down, and the guy who took him down standing there, and Kreese looks at him, and he goes, "What are you doing? What are you looking at me for?" He goes, "Finish him." And he has to chop his friend in the chest hard to finish him. And the guy's laying there going, "Ah." Pain exists in that dojo. Fear exists in that dojo. They're afraid of Kreese and what he'll do to them and what he'll make them do to each other. And defeat, if you've watched a movie, exists because every single one of them gets beat by the Karate Kid. And so they're living in denial when they say fear and pain and defeat don't exist in that dojo. And we, a lot of us, I know I did when I was your age, I lived in denial that fear and pain and defeat didn't exist in my life. That's what we've been talking about this summer is happy days, about how we need to admit that we have a need for God and then go to Him to meet that need, because things like fear and pain and defeat do exist in our life. And we don't need to go out there with this philosophy of, I need to go take control of my life and I need to make things happen. I don't know what your plans are for the school year, but I used to go into my school year every year. I was like, this is a fresh start. I'm a new person. I'm going to get my new wardrobe with the coolest, latest shoes, and I'm going to get my jeans. Maybe they're baggy this year. Maybe they have holes in the knees this year. I don't know. Maybe they're really tight like Wilson wears. I'm not sure. But I'm going to get the right wardrobe. I'm going to get the new shirts. I'm going to go in with the newest Trapper Keeper, whatever it is. And I'm going to be the class clown. The girls are going to finally like me because I got a little bit of hair in my armpits and my voice a little deeper. And I'm good to go now. I know girls don't appreciate the armpit hair as much as I do. But I would go in with a game plan every year. And what I want to ask you guys to do this morning is not go in with your own game plan. Let me show you this verse. This is I'm kind of pull out some classic verses this morning. They're just awesome. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Look at me in the eye right now. God has a purpose and a plan for each of you this year. And if you try to plan your own way, you're going to be kicking against God's purpose. Submit yourself to God's purpose and let it prevail in your life this year. Another verse I want to show you. I'm just going to throw up a couple here. Here's what God's plans are. You might go, "Oh, I know God has a purpose, but it's boring." No. God says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God has plans for a prosperous, hopeful future for you guys this year. And I want to encourage you to dive into it. And here's what that looks like. Another passage from Jeremiah. This is a lot. But the Lord says this, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on his flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord." If you guys depend on yourselves this year and not on the Lord, if you go in going, I'm going to be more popular, I'm going to have more friends, I'm going to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I'm going to get better grades, I'm going to move up on the roster on the team and to a starting position, I'm going to be first chair in band, I'm going to be the lead singer in the choir quartet, whatever it is that you're wanting to do, I'm going to be the best computer programmer, I'm going to have the best tan when I go back to school, whatever your thing is, if you depend on your flesh for your strength and your heart turns away from the Lord, you're going to be like a bush in the wastelands. Follow with me. He will not see prosperity when it comes, will dwell in parched places of a desert, like in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots in the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Now, this is kind of sums up what I want us to be all about, is someone who is rooted in Jesus Christ, in a relationship with God, deep roots, like a tree by the water. You see a tree that needs water to grow and to be strong? A tree by the water sends its roots down deep and just digs into that water right by the river. And then that tree grows up big, and it branches out, and its branches are wide, and it spreads seeds, and it gives fruit, and it gives life. And I want you guys to be rooted in Christ and influential for Him. And here's what I could do this morning. I could make a list of things of what it looks like to be rooted in Christ and what it looks like to be influential for Him. And I could tell you, go do these things. Instead, I'm just going to show you a real life example of what someone's life looks like who's rooted in Christ and influential for Him. And I want Martha Kate to come up here. Martha Kate, yeah, you can clap for Martha Kate. Martha Kate is a person who lives her life rooted in Christ and influential for Him. If we could all be like Martha Kate, and I don't mean to, put Martha Kate up on a pedestal. And guys, not in what she's wearing, okay? I don't want you to go buy Martha Kate's shirt with the flowers and the flip-flops and all that. But if we could all be like Martha Kate in her heart, when we go back into the school year, your schools would change. And the city would change. And this church would change. And this youth group would change. And that's what we need to see happen. So Martha Kate, let me ask you some questions. People are going, what's so special about Martha Kate? Okay, and you don't have to brag on yourself here. But tell me just about, let's start with this summer. Tell me about camp, what God taught you at camp, and what your life has been like since camp. And really, before camp, I know you, and you've had an authentic walk with Christ. But just tell us about camp.
Okay, well, at camp, they in everything you do...
Is that on?
In everything you do, it's like Christ is always there, and it feels so like heartwarming because all your friends are Christ-like, and everybody just loves you for who you are. And I've learned to bring that home with me, and from the friends that I've seen since camp, it's been different for me because I think of Christ more, and I just like try and work that into my life every day. And
it's like, what does that look like? Like what, she says, I'm trying to think of Christ more. Like in everything I do, and work that into my life every day. So what does that look like for you as you try to work a relationship with Christ in your life?
Well, I try and like bring God up with friends and try and pray as often as possible whenever I'm struggling to not like bring it upon myself, but to ask the Lord to help me through things.
What are a couple of those things?
Like fighting with my siblings and just... anything at all, just being nervous to do well, to show off, or any with guys, I guess, just being social, it doesn't matter as much anymore, and I give it to God instead of on me.
Yeah, you've been taking the social concerns before the Lord, the fighting with the brothers and sisters before the Lord. And what's your time in the Word been like? Probably not every day, you know, an hour every day, but what's that been like?
Well, with camp, I'm doing a Bible study every day, and I'm trying to do it as much as possible. But every now and then, I'll read the journey whenever I'm on the computer or something, and I'll pray as often as possible at night and before a meal. And I just kind of like think of him whenever I can, whenever I remember to.
And you also have some friends from camp that are doing that camp Bible study with you, right?
Mm-hmm. And like on, we have each other's screen names, and on AIM, they'll ask me like, "Hey, how are you doing in the Bible study
Hold
and
that.
Stuff?" And we try and, like, keep each other up with that, and we hold each other accountable for it.
Now, see, if that was it with Martha Kate, okay, that was it for most of you guys, I would be doing cartwheels up here on stage, and I can do good cartwheels, too. I might even do a backflip. If you guys were going, I'm bringing all of my social concerns before the Lord, my family issues, I'm laying them down for God. I'm seeking to be in His Word. I have friends that are holding me accountable to be in God's Word. I'm praying as often as I see a need in my life. It's God's need, not mine. I'm giving it to Him. If you guys were all doing that, I'd be ecstatic. But here's what's going to shoot me through the roof, okay? And I want Martha Kate to tell us about what happened at her house, what, last week? Not this past week, but the week before that. Tell about the friends that you had, how you knew them, and how they ended up at your house.
Okay, well, I had this one friend that I knew from elementary school, and she had two other friends that I hadn't like known. They were kind of an acquaintance to me.
Tell me all their names so we can keep it.
Sydney, Jacoby, and Brianna. And like we were in athletics together, and two of them did basketball with me, so they were just kind of like your everyday teammates that you'd see and that you'd work together with. And like I had a relationship with them, but only Sydney was the one that came over to my house sometimes, and you know, we'd hang out and stuff. But the other two I really didn't know that well at all, but Sydney did, and she brought them over to my house one night after a camp that we were at. And well, we were just
so
messing around.
You were doing a cheerleading camp.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she's got a friend named Sydney that she's known for a while and has kind of hung out with some. And then these other two girls, she doesn't really know. She just kind of knows who they are. Everybody has those people in their school, right? So they're doing a cheerleading camp last week, and then what happens?
And they spent the night at my house just to kind of like, you know, keep the fun going. And we were going to spend the night at each other's house every night. And so they were at my house that night, and we just were staying up late like normal girls.
Woo!
And, you know.
By the way, who stayed up past midnight last night? Let's go ahead. My God. Who stayed up past one? Two. Past three.
Friday night, 6 o'clock.
No, last night, past three. My goodness. Past four last night. You said it was? Okay, keep going. So it's late at night. It's like 2 a.m.
Yeah, so it was really late.
Shh.
And we kept saying, like, okay, let's go to bed now. And so we'd lay down, and then we'd think of something else, and we'd keep talking. And then finally I said, okay, we really got to go to bed now because we have to go to camp in the morning. And so I said, do you want to just pray to go to bed? And, like, it was just something that I felt like God put in me to say just for that reason. And we prayed, and I asked them after, I said, do y'all pray often? And one of the girls said, no, not really at all, because she was even scared to pray then. And but the other two were kind of like, yeah, kind of, you know, whenever I do it with other people or whatever. But so then I said, well, do y'all go to church? And they said, well, I have a church, but my parents don't take me, and I just don't feel that comfortable in my church. And so I said, well, are y'all Christians? And they said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, have y'all accepted Christ in your heart? And they said, well, yeah, I think so. And I said, are y'all going to heaven? And they couldn't answer me, and they stopped, and they paused, and they didn't know for sure. And then I said, do y'all have a testimony? And they said no, and they didn't even know what it was. And so I said, well, do y'all want to be sure you're going to heaven? And they said yes, and all three of them perked up real big, and they all wanted to pray right then. And I told them what to say and kind of like what they were going to do. And we kind of sat up in a circle, and we all prayed together. And after that, we were all like pumped up, and they said, well, now we're for sure we're going to heaven.
And then what happened after? Yes, let's clap for that. Okay. And then this is the sweetest part. This is my favorite part.
Which part?
What did you guys do before you fell asleep?
After we prayed and everything, I just felt like singing, and we worshiped for like 30 minutes. I just started singing, and the other girls, they caught on whenever they knew a song, but we just started like worshiping. And for that like moment, I felt like all the girls really like thought about it, and they were really like deeply touched by the Lord, and we were all like really realizing what the words meant. Instead of just singing the songs like we do every day here, we actually thought about them, and we were touched by it, and it was pretty awesome.
That's right. And here's the deal. We're not just blowing smoke. Sydney's here this morning. Sydney, why don't you come on up here? Okay. And I just want Sydney to come up here. Sydney's real brave. We've got a stool for you over here. But, you know, Sydney doesn't know many of you guys or any. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get to know Sydney a little bit better. But, Sydney, why don't you tell us from your perspective, because I know you've been around church. You've gone to Christian camps. What was that night like for you, and what has your life been like since then? Yeah.
Okay. Well, every night I, like, pray, just go to bed, and the next day, and well, I get together with Martha Kate, and we read the Bible sometimes, and then we just do, we were going to do her book, but then we got sidetracked, but that's about it.
And what happened that night inside of you? Like, what was that? You described it to me when we talked on the phone. Just what was the feeling, you know, that you experienced that evening?
Okay, well, the thing was that her brother, Blake, he had a baseball tournament, and then he, if he lost that game that day, that afternoon, that we wouldn't be able to spend the night. And then, and so he won that game, so we got to spend the night. And so Martha Kate was saying that God had a plan for everything, and he planned for Blake to win his game so we could all spend the night. And that was just like, really like, oh my gosh, because that was his plan so we could become a true Christian, and then so we could spend the night that night.
That's right. And so you had known about God and even about Jesus before that time, but you'd realize, I'm not really sure I have a relationship with him, right? And how did it go that night when you came into a relationship with God? What did Martha Kate have you guys pray?
She just had us do the testimony and like pray to him and give our like life to him, and then just be true Christians for him.
What do you think is going to be different about your life going into school this year now that you said, okay, I've given my life to God? Do you think anything's going to change?
Yeah, because I know that he's with me, and so whenever I'm in through like a hard time, that I could just go to him and then go to my friends too, but then, yeah, I have him.
And lastly, we're running out of time, but I want to hear what you would say to this. If there's someone out there, okay, in this crowd that maybe it's kind of how you were. Hey, I've been around the church a little bit. I've been around Christian things. But, you know, I don't know that I have a true relationship with God. I haven't given my life to him. What would you say to that person?
I would say, do it. Give your life to him. It's full, like, it makes your life full. Like, it makes you feel full when you have him.
That's right. My life is incomplete without him. My life is incomplete without him. Sydney's life is incomplete without him. KK's life is incomplete without him. Your lives are too. And as we go back into the school year, we want to have this in mind. Rooted in Christ and then influential in the lives of those around us. And how easy is it to say, hey, do you guys want to pray? Do you pray often? Do you have a testimony? Do you want to know how? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Do you want to know how? You can be sure. So easy. And was KK rejected in that moment? Absolutely not. Was there even a moment where you thought about saying, KK, stupid religious stuff, don't bring that up? No. You know why? Because you know KK. And you know her life. And so I want to encourage you guys, give your lives to God this year. Walk with him and then tell others about him.
It's worth it.
It is, isn't it? It's fun. KK, would you pray to close us?
Sure.
Thanks.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to get us up here and to tell these people what had happened and maybe to be an inspiration for them to help their teammates or just friends around school become Christians also, and just give them the words and the wisdom to help their friends become Christians. And I just thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Guys, yes. Hang on. We've got flyers at the door.